212. It is Thursday, January the 10th, 2019, with Jeff Plaskett of TheFremontOutpost.com. I'm Richard Dwyer, BettingAngle.us, GamblersAdvice.com, and we're here to talk football. Jeff, how did you want to kick this off?
Well, that's how I want to kick it off.
Okay.
I want to recall the days of our youth when ABC was king. Live little sports, Monday Night Football, occasional Super Bowls. Even the juice was involved at Stanford Stadium when the 49ers beat the Dolphins. But now it's ESPN and NBC and CBS and Fox. I missed the early days of Monday Night Football. That was appointment television. Now Monday night may be the third best game of the week if they're lucky. So it's not quite the same. But
right, right.
I do want to acknowledge that the double doink made you the winner of last weekend. Congratulations on a partially blocked kick that hit the upright and the crossbar. That was quite a finish to that. That allowed Philadelphia to advance to their soon-to-be annihilation, according to Vegas. I guess they're 8-point underdogs this weekend.
Are you talking about Cody Parker, Parkey, my MVP?
You can have him. I don't even know who he is. Who's Cody Parker? Oh, you mean the kicker?
Right, right. Chicago's kicker who blew it.
Apparently, after the fact, someone spotted a fingernail on the ball, and the defensive player took full credit. It missed by an eyelash. I mean, it's just the way it goes. The guy made all the kicks and the kick, of course. I really despise the last second timeout. I know it's legal. I think it's ridiculous. It's used all the time. It's so obvious. That's why I was so confident, because he made that kick so easily the first time. I thought, this is a no-brainer. This is going to be over with. But
right. You know, I'll say this. The Bears should have won that game. There's no question about it. Right. I thought that last drive, Tyreek Cohen, who was ignored all game, getting the nice return. And then Robinson, who really should have been one of the heroes of the game, catching that ball, getting it in field goal range. Mitch Trubisky, I'll give him credit, threw for
he
a lot of yards.
Better than I expected. He played well, especially that last drive. They had it set up to win. He went right down the field. It was impressive.
Right. I thought he looked like a million bucks. And so, you know, the kick hurt him. I'll say this, though, in fairness to Philly, right? Philly would have covered regardless. Right? Kick makes it. Philly loses. You're a gambler. You still cover.
Mm-hmm. We both agreed that Philly was going to cover. We just had the disagreement was who was going to be the ultimate victor in the game.
Right. Right. Wait till you hear some of my picks for this week. I'll say this, too. I must have been the only person in America who didn't get 2.5 points on the Seattle Seahawks. Well, I only got 2 points.
It was interesting. The line changed, I think, the last couple hours, because it was 2 points that morning of the game. Either way, you either got a split or you won. So it was right on the borderline. That was quite a finish, too, that game. Russell Wilson seemed like whenever he get the ball, but I seem to remember someone saying if Zeke got over 120 yards and the X factor, their receiver had a good game, that was the way Dallas could control the ball and win. I don't know. I heard that somewhere. And that's exactly what happened. And you have to say Dak played well. I mean, they couldn't tackle him at the end. He ran it right up the middle against the vaunted but kind of not fully formed Seattle Seahawks defense. Dak did his job, but Zeke he schooled whoever that guy from Central Florida, whoever, that replacement for Richard Sherman. Two plays, obvious pass interference, and then the stiff arm that it looked like he paralyzed the cornerback on that 20-yard run. And Zeke was the best player in that game, I think. That was a great performance by him.
Right. I'll say this about that Seattle game. Didn't deserve the cover in that game. Don't get me wrong. Or the push. I only got a push.
They only because their kicker was hurt. They wouldn't have gone for 2 points.
Right, Sebastian Janikowski. Right.
That's exactly that Janikowski, right. We can trust you for a long field goal, and that may be the last thing he ever does. His hand, I guess he's too old to try to kick field goals anymore because he fell to the ground like he'd been shot in the back of the leg when he was trying to end the first half field goal.
Right, right. I'll say this, though. You know, Cody Parkey, the Bear kicker, signed a big contract before having this awful year, right? Sebastian Janikowski, for kickers, has made a lot of money in his career, and he's an older kicker. So if he's having hamstring problems and stuff like that at the most inopportune time of the year, playoff games and stuff like that, and I wouldn't be surprised.
The weather wasn't a factor in his pulling the hamstring. It was a nice evening in Dallas.
Right, right, right. You know, I'll say, too, with the Cowboys. In fact, why don't we lead with the Cowboy game?
Oh, you mean the Ram game. The Rams are favored by a full touchdown. Full touchdown.
Okay, well, tell me how you see that game.
No, you can go first. I was just pointing out there's two teams. It's not just the Cowboy game. That's all I wanted to say.
Right, well, I'll say this. I do expect the Rams to win, but they are favored by 7. I just don't like the spread. So my
7 points is a lot. Dallas is playing their best. The Rams have obviously not been playing their best. So I was surprised by that line. Did that line change? I don't think it started off as 7 this week.
You know, I think it was hovering around 7. Yeah, I'm surprised
it's gone higher. It didn't start at 7 because I thought all the games were. I think the Saints line went up too. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Right now, the Saints game, my pick there might be a little bit interesting too. But with regard to this Dallas game, you know, Dallas's defense only gave up 11 first downs.
Right. Against now, they were impressive. Yeah.
They were very impressive. Also, Dallas is an interesting team who, during the season, beat both the Saints and Philly. In other words, Dallas has handled business against elite teams.
Right.
Now, the reason I have the Rams winning is because the Ram offense is much better, right? And I'll say, too, that a quick, big Rams lead could take Dallas out of the game because they're relying on Ezekiel Elliott. And let's face it, you talked about the old days. You mentioned O.J. Simpson, right?
Deuce.
Much better back than Zeke. I'll say this, you know, Zeke simply, to me, is not a home run hitter. In other words, he's not Juice, he's not Eric Dickerson, he's not Barry Sanders, he's not that back who could break it for 40, 50 yards. Now, I know Cowboy fans disagree.
Doesn't he kind of remind you of another Cowboy running back, Emmitt Smith, who wasn't a breakaway runner but consistently came through? I don't think Emmitt Smith was a bad back. I seem to remember him holding the Lombardi Trophy a couple times in the 90s.
Right, but I'll say this. You know, I'm someone who prefers Tony Dorsett to Emmitt Smith.
Oh, Tony Dorsett was awesome. Now you're talking 70s.
Right, because Tony, Monday Night Football, you remember he breaks off a 99-yard run.
My point is,
right. Well, Emmitt Smith, to me, you could take the Cowboys out of the game. But at least Emmitt out of the game. You still had another Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman, throwing to yet another Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, right? But I could take Emmitt out of the game if I jumped out to a big lead on them, right? Yeah. In fact, your Niners did just that one playoff years ago. You remember that? The turnover game? Cowboys kept giving you the ball. Cowboys eventually gave the game away. Well, all I'm saying is if the Rams jump out, then the Cowboys are going to have to rely on Dak Prescott, who isn't Troy Aikman. Right. And I know we're all excited about Amari Cooper. He hasn't even been there a full season. Right? So, to me, McVay is an offensive guy. I'm expecting the Rams, who have had a chance to rest.
They're going to have some new plays. I would think their first couple drives will probably set Dallas off balance at the beginning. But it's usually the adjustments in a close game that make the difference. So it really depends if they get off to a lead or not.
Because right, and so Jason Garrett, I'm supposed to believe in his ability to make adjustments?
No, you're not supposed to believe in him at all. There's no proof of concept with Jason Garrett. He's a good mm-hmm. helmet slapper. He really gave Dak a good helmet slapping after, and congratulations for the clinching touchdown.
Yeah, I'll say this too. You know, Zeke over 100 rushing yards.
Over 120.
Over 120, and yet that Cowboy total offensive number was right. under 400. In other words, Dak really was pedestrian. Now, granted, he's playing an excellent defense in Seattle, right. but he was playing them at home, right?
Right.
So I don't believe Dak is a threat to put up great offensive numbers. I believe that's what you need if you're playing a team like the Rams, who just threw down 48 points against San Francisco. Game before that, they threw down 31 points against Arizona.
The 4-12 49ers, you mean?
You know, 4-12 49ers, but a Ram team that wasn't completely healthy, right? Guys like Todd Gurley have been missing in action. In other words, I feel the Rams are badly hurt by the Gurley injury and by Cooper Kupp being out. But yet, even this depleted Ram team, you know, last two games have put up a total of more than 70 points.
Right.
So, I do feel the Cowboys will be able to hold their own. I do feel the defense will be able to make some plays. I think the Cowboys, I'll just say this. I don't like the 7-point line, but I do feel the Rams win. My advice to gamblers, and I know it's a little bit controversial here, but my advice is if you're going to bet on the Rams, bet on Ram futures. In other words, you don't want to take the Rams on the money line and give away most of your profits. At this stage of the game, you bet on Ram futures. If the Rams win, you have an easily hedgeable position because the Rams will then be in the conference finals. And and the futures I'm talking about are to win the Super Bowl, not just the conference.
I see.
Right. Well, how do you see it? Go ahead. You expound a bit.
I looked at Gurley's usage. He actually has been only getting like 18 touches a game, and I know he's been banged up. I think this week off is going to have him probably in the best shape he's been since the first half of the season. I think he'll be able to play. I think Jared Goff also, with this week off, has probably gone back to basics. I would imagine he and Sean McVay have tried to get his footwork addressed. I know the Cooper Kupp injury is significant, but they have a lot of playmakers, and they really have a lot on their mind about losing less. They've been prepping for this game. It's actually ideal, not only the week off, but they had a chance to work on themselves the first week, so they didn't have to try to plant a scheme for an opponent. So they worked on their fundamentals, and now they're preparing for the Dallas Cowboys. I expect their defense to play a lot better too. The problem I have with the line is the way Dallas is based. Even if they fall behind by 10 or 14 points, I don't believe they would abandon the run game just because Zeke is far too important. I think the Rams might, if they get off to an early lead, the Cowboys will probably want to use up clock and not give them too many chances. I figure that this game will still be in question in the fourth quarter. So I would probably, if I had to, I would take Dallas in the points, because I think this could be easily a 3 or 4 point win. I just think the Rams are going to win. It's hard to call a blowout because Dallas's defense is so good. I wouldn't expect this game to be a normal Ram 35-40 point game. I would think it'd be more low 30s, high 20s, just because Dallas's defense is that good. And no one knows exactly what shape Todd Gurley is going to be in. I expect the Rams to play well, but I would think Dallas. The other real key thing is the lack of home field advantage. They're expecting over half the fans to be Cowboy fans. So the Cowboys may not be at home, but I think they're going to be very comfortable. I don't think the L.A. Coliseum is much of a home field advantage. As we've seen when Stanford or alma mater goes down to play USC, they actually play – there is no home field advantage, and that's when it's 90% USC fans. I think the Coliseum itself is not made where it gets extremely loud on the field. It gets loud in the stands. So I see this being a pretty close game. I think the Rams get out early. I think the Cowboys try to remain patient. I don't think they're going to take too many unnecessary chances. I know the Rams have a good defensive line in terms of Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. I'm not sold on their run defense. I think Zeke can run on these guys. So that's why I think Dallas will probably win the time of possession battle, and that's why I'm expecting maybe a lower scoring game than some of Ram fans. So I believe the Rams are going to win, but if forced to, the 7-point line is pretty close. That could be the final score. But if I had to, I would take Dallas in the points.
Okay. You don't think that the Rams are going to clog the box up, force Dak Prescott to beat them passing, and then cover Amari Cooper and force Dak into turnovers? You don't see that scenario coming out?
No, I think Dak has kind of heard all the, well, he's a game manager, he's not one of the top players. I think he's learned that he's not going to force the throw. And I think Amari Cooper has been getting better, and he showed again last week, particularly in the first half, that he is a number one receiver. So
I think he's
the threat of the run. So whatever the Rams do to try to bottle up Zeke, that's gonna leave somebody open. If you put 8 men in the box, then even Dak Prescott can find an open receiver. It really comes down to, is he going to force the ball? I don't think he's going to try to force the ball. I think he'll throw it away. I think he's well aware that he has a good defense. I don't think he would try a really tough pass unless the Cowboys fell behind by 14 or 17 points. Then they may be forced to go. But, 10 points or less, I think they're going to stick with Zeke as their main weapon until the last few minutes of the game.
I'll say this, though. You know, Donald is so quick in getting to the quarterback. If the Rams can get a push up the middle, I think Dak could have some problems.
They'll go to screen passes. They'll go for quick passes. I mean, I'm sure they've run into this situation throughout the year. That's where the adjustments come in. I think the Rams come in, have a really impressive first quarter, and then it settles back into a more normal mode. So the key for Dallas is not to fall behind by 14 or 17 points midway through the second quarter. Then they're up against it. Then you've got the Rams defense will have momentum. They'll be going after Dak. I just don't see that happening because I think Zeke is the best running back in the league by a considerable margin this year. He's been very impressive.
Oh, wow. You know, I feel that a healthy Gurley.
But he's not healthy.
Okay. I can't argue with that. Yeah. I can't argue with that, but, you know, Zeke certainly is off to a great start this week.
Mm-hmm. Gurley's a much better receiver, but Zeke is a really good running back. He can go inside and outside, which is going to be the key. It's going to give the Cowboys options. He's quite a player, too. He's had a good career so far.
Right. I'll say he is a throwback because he's a guy who you could feed the ball to, as Cowboy fans say, feed Zeke. You can literally treat him like you treated O.J. Simpson back in the day. A lot of carries, right? He's the centerpiece of the offense. The other team, has to figure out how to stop him or they lose and stuff like that. He is a workhorse, no question about that.
Yep.
All right, so we're both taking the Rams to win. We both have concerns about the line.
Right.
Are you thinking you that the Cowboys cover?
Do you know what the over-under is on this game? Because I would think, depending on how high, that might be an under bet, because I think this will end up being a defensive game in the end. I would assume it's around 54 points, something like that. I don't know.
Right,
I would think this there'd be about 50 to 54 points scored, so it depends on what the over-under line. I think it's going to be like something like 28-24 Rams, something of that order. I wouldn't be surprised to see a score like that.
I could see a sport like that. I'm not going to play with the over-under. For me, personally, I like futures simply because of the leverage I get, right? And over under, you're going to get paid off at a minus 110 or even money. Right. With futures, you're getting better than 3-1, you know? Okay. And yeah, my goal on a futures play is just to lock in the odds right. So I could later hedge it. So food for thought.
Okay.
All right. So the consensus here seems to be Rams win. You're expecting a lower scoring game. I can see that too, right? Lower scoring game. We both are staying away from the point spread.
I would only do it under gunpoint. I think 7 points. It's a lot of points, but it's also, it could be the final spread. It's not a good bet in my, I just don't see, I see anywhere from 4 to 10 point Ram victory. So I don't want to touch the 7 point line. It just depends. It could change at the last minute. If Dak is going for a desperation throw and then it's returned for a touchdown, that could be the deciding factor in that bet. And I wouldn't want to have my money on that.
Yeah, I'll say the Cowboys have a lot of young guys. They're going to be ready. I have a problem laying 7 against a defense this good.
Right.
You know, right. Just food for thought.
Now, is that game Saturday? Mm-hmm. What game? Well, I don't even know what day the Cowboy-Ram game is.
Wow, you and I are terrible.
I really prepared.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even sure on the day.
I did look up
the weather. I did look up the wind. I know it's not supposed to be raining or snowing in Southern California.
Yeah, right? It generally doesn't this time of year or any time of year.
Right, and I didn't see a high miles per hour. And even if there were a lot of wind, I'm not sure who that would work against more, right? Because both teams do have A-plus running backs. Right. Neither Goff nor Dak Prescott, to me, is a rocket arm passer.
Well, so that's why it could. The wind would affect both of them, because I think they put a lot of air under the ball generally when they go deep. So it could move the ball a couple of yards off. It would be a better game if the wind was down. If the wind's up, then the long passing game could effectively be removed, because these guys aren't as accurate as some of the other strong arm throwers like that guy in Kansas City.
Right. A lot of wind would take Brandon Cooks out of the game. He's right. Really primarily a deep threat. Right. Mari Cooper would probably have a little bit better of it on shorter routes. But all right. Well, I like the Rams there to win. I'm going the futures route. Sounds like you're thinking about the money line play. Is that right?
No, I never thought about the futures play. That's where I would go, because I predicted in the Fremont Outpost that it would be Rams, Chargers, Super Bowl in Atlanta. Sounds crazy, I know. So futures would be the way to go for me.
Maybe I'll tell you what. Speaking of the Chargers, why don't you lead on the Patriots versus the Chargers?
This is what I've been waiting for, Rich. You have been touting yesterday's news for weeks that the best bet is the Patriots. I couldn't disagree more. This is the worst Patriots defense I've seen in years. Brady is still Brady. Gronk is healthy now, but one awkward turn in the back and he's out of the game. I can't believe they're giving me 5.5 points. I would pick the Chargers in a pick'em game. So I'm taking the points. I think the Chargers are going to win this by 6 or 7 points. Wow. I know people think, oh, it's snow, it's Foxborough. This is the worst Patriots team I've seen in quite a while. They can only rely on the AFC East. I know they beat the Bears. I know they've had their moments. This defense is maybe the worst defense alive left in the playoffs. The Patriots are not anywhere near their top form. I'm all in for Chargers. They've got talent. They're hungry. I think they just kind of took their foot off the gas at the end of that Ravens game. Phillip Rivers, they've got everything you need. And they're a great road team. I think this could really be the end for Gronk. This could be his last game, and the Patriots are going to have to retool. They need some younger blood in there right now. I don't know how they won as many games as they did. They didn't look that impressive to me this year.
Well, you know, difference of opinion on this game. Big difference of opinion.
Yeah, big difference of opinion.
I do feel And I felt this way for a long time,
yeah,
that the Patriots on the futures market are one of the absolute best bets on the board.
Yeah. So you, I think you mentioned that last week. You've certainly told me that more than twice over the last 3 weeks. So of no surprise to me.
Well, I'll say this has Patriot year written all over it. They quietly are the 2 seed in the AFC. If KC continues to implode, if KC loses to the Colts, the Patriots then host, if they win this game, and I understand you believe they lose, Patriots host the AFC Championship game.
Right, if they win.
Let me say this, a minute left right. in that Ravens game against a rookie quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and you mean to tell me that the Ravens still had a chance to win that game? And you feel, based on that performance, that they're going to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs in New England?
Yes. Oh,
come on.
Maybe in a different episode, I can describe why Tom Brady isn't the GOAT. Because of my completely biased belief that Joe Montana is the greatest, I won't even give Tom Brady number two all time. I'll come up with some other guy like Otto Graham or Johnny Unitas just to stop the GOAT talk about Tom Brady. I saw Joe Montana. Even the games he lost were amazing. No one could deliver the ball right on the money like him. I know Brady is great, but he's not as good as he was. This wasn't his best year. It was still a very good year, but I think Tom has seen the last of Super Bowl Sunday, to be honest. I'm sorry, Tommy.
Well, I'll say this. The Chargers, if you just look at the personnel, the Chargers look like they have the better team than the Patriots. I'll concede that, right?
Yeah.
But let me say this. There are problems in Charger land.
Oh, right? No.
Last three games. Well, last three games. Now, I'll agree. They were against excellent defenses, right? Denver and two against Baltimore. But the last three games, more than 90 pass attempts, Phillip Rivers has one TD.
Yeah.
One. Now, my point to you is Bill Belichick has had an opportunity to sit down with that tape and see exactly how Denver and Baltimore took away the Charger passing attack.
Oh, wait. They had a good defense. Is Bill Belichick going to bring a new defensive unit out there? Because otherwise, it ain't going to work. Bill Belichick is going to have to get a new hoodie or wash his old one. When he's walking off after being beaten by the Chargers and like Gronk is being carried off the field into retirement, he's going to have to come up with a new plan. I mean, Brady will still be around, but who else is going to be around on that team?
Well, you know, I'll say this. Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, Sony Michel. The Patriots actually do have some players. James White. I understand that some high-profile guys have had either off years, Gronk, or suspensions.
Right.
Josh Gordon. But keep in mind, the Patriots this year, I'm not even being nostalgic here. This year, Patriots are unbeaten at home. Right, unbeaten.
They beat the Chiefs, didn't they?
Right, beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
My point to you is in a lot better weather Chicago than this Charger team's going to face.
Mm-hmm. Amazingly enough, the Chargers have only lost once on the road. So I guess if the Chargers win, then they would both. The Chargers would have one road loss, and the Patriots would have one home loss. They would almost be equal, except the Chargers would be playing in the AFC Championship game when New England is fleeing Boston so they can go to warmer weather or wherever Tom Brady and his wife go. Maybe they go to Brazil immediately and hide out. Who knows?
Well, I'll say this, too. While the Patriots were wearing sweats, watching films, right in film study.
Tom Brady loves watching film. He says it all the time. He could watch film all the time.
Think about it. While Tom had a few extra days to watch film, Phillip Rivers was dealing with the league's best defense, T. Sizzle and company, right?
And he won the game, even though it was closer than it needed to be at the end. You still
won. Right, close. Right, and let's face it, too. We say he won. I would argue that it's the Charger defense that won that game.
I agree. The Chargers defense is very good. Right.
And so to me, I don't like the 4-point line. You're getting somehow a plus 550 on the futures market. In other words, you're getting longer odds on the Patriots than you are two other teams, right? The Saints, the Rams. And so to me, this play makes itself. My advice to gamblers is to expect the Patriots to win. Stay away from the 4-point spread. Instead, bet futures. Take the 550. The argument is, and you'll hear this from me after we talk about the KC game, I believe there is a fair chance, that the Patriots host the AFC Championship game.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How much is that futures bet worth if the Patriots lose? It's probably worth zero at that point, right, Rich? So you're advised. This is tape, right? So, like, come next week, what is your explanation going to be for? I hope you all took that futures bet, even though the Patriots aren't going to play anymore until this fall.
Well, let me say this. You know, the Chargers right now on the futures market are 10-1 underdogs, 10-1.
Okay.
And I'll just say, if a gambler has any hesitation on this game, play the futures market on both. Just kick the can down the road. Pretend you're, the U.S.
and
government
the
last few years.
This is the rare year where if the Chargers win, it's a not unbelievable scenario. They could be hosting the AFC Championship game if the Colts beat the Chiefs. The fifth seed could be the host of the AFC Championship game.
Let me ask you, is that how it would play out? Because I know.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're right. Because Titans won the division, right?
Right.
Titans won the Colts division, right? You're right. But do you want the Chargers
Titans
at home?
Not win the Colts division because the Houston Texans won the Colts division.
Oh no, you're right. Houston wins, right? You're right. So Indy would have to go out to
Indy
Los
has
Angeles.
No chance to host a game.
We were here talking just moments ago about the fact that there might be more Cowboy fans at the Ram game than Ram fans, right? Well, the Chargers, talk about tepid fan support. First off, if I'm a Charger fan, I might want them on the road. That's the first thing, right? Because they do better on the road than they do at home. Second, the Colts might have more people in that bandbox where the Chargers play than the Chargers do.
I think that's a problem for next week, to be honest.
Okay. So this week, back of a performance where a rookie quarterback almost took them out late, you feel the Chargers are going to go into New England where Phillip Rivers has done terribly, and you feel they're going to beat this Patriot team because Rob Gronkowski is a little bit banged up and the Patriots aren't as strong as some of the years in which they won the Super Bowl.
Patriots' defense is probably the worst it's been in 5 years, and their offense is not as good as it normally is. And Gronk, how many games has he actually finished? It's like 50%, 25%?
He's a shell of himself.
He is. I'm very confident the Chargers are going to win. That's why getting the points is like a bonus.
Okay.
No need to go on the money line in this one, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, really?
Just take the points, just because you don't want to play, crazy. You never know if they bring in the official back from prison and they bring a Zamboni onto the field and they try to make it easier for the Patriots. Who knows what the Foxborough crew does there? There's no telling what lengths they'll go to make sure the Patriots have the best chance to win. I don't know.
Well, let me just close with a different opinion here. New England, this is your typical year where the public has gotten ahead of itself, right? Uh-huh. We keep hearing about New England's demise and how Jimmy G is on the wrong coast and there's supposed to be dysfunction in New England and stuff like that. But yet, they have the 2 seed, and let's face it, they lost that game in the regular season to the Miami Dolphins on the last play of the game. Right. Some fluky play and stuff like that. The Patriots, for all they've done, could even have a better record than this. Also, Tom Brady last year had the best statistical performance a quarterback has had in a Super Bowl, right? I know Tom's in his 40s, but the bottom line is Tom Brady is playing great football. Brady is a schematic quarterback who doesn't rely on having a Jerry Rice or, dare I say, a Freddie Solomon.
He had Randy Moss during his best
year. I'm a Montana fan, too.
Randy Moss was good.
No, Randy was good. But I'm saying this year, I believe Brady, especially with an extra week to prepare, will be able to make it work with not just Gronk, but Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman. You know, those guys put together aren't a bad receiving team, right? And the Chargers, for, you know, a big part of the Chargers is the pass rush that frustrated Lamar Jackson, right? It's Ingram, it's Joey Bosa. They're in your face. They're giving you problems. Well, against a quick release veteran quarterback like Tom Brady, that kind of pass rush isn't going to faze him. We just saw him in a Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, where he was up against Philly, and he handled himself, right? Fletcher Cox, all these guys were supposed to be collapsing the pocket, weren't able to get to him.
Yeah.
So
you know, your old team proved if you can rush up the middle. The Giants beat the Patriots twice in Super Bowls by going up the middle and disrupting Brady's rhythm. That was the key to winning those games, was defensive line play, both those games.
Oh, no, I'll agree. We're talking about the Giants, for those who don't know, right? And Giants also had Michael Strahan coming off the edge.
Right.
But a lot's happened since then, right? Strahan's retired. He's on TV. Tom Brady has been to multiple Super Bowls.
I know. So LeBron James has been to a lot of championships, but he doesn't have a lot of trophies, though.
Yeah,
I'll say this. Percentage.
You know, last year, AFC Championship game, Tom Brady went up against a very good Jacksonville defense. That's before he goes up against Philly's defense. Yeah. My point to you is, a veteran quarterback who gets rid of the ball quickly can neutralize Joey Bosa and Ingram in a way that a rookie quarterback like Lamar Jackson can't. And my concerns, too, are the Charger offense. They haven't been dumped. Phillip Rivers throws for less than, 180 yards against the Ravens?
Well, the Ravens have a better defense. You're talking about veteran quarterbacks. Like, Phillip Rivers is not a good veteran quarterback himself. Brady had more decisive advantage over other quarterbacks he's faced. Phillip Rivers is probably playing as well as he's ever played at age 37. He's a very good quarterback.
Oh, no. Rivers has looked great until these last few games. And
Ravens twice. He lost one meaningless game, and he won the playoff game. What was the other game that he had? Denver's been winning games kind of like the 49ers did at the end of the year. They played well against teams that were kind of thinking about something else. Denver has a very good defense. You're talking about two teams that are definitely top seven minimum defense. The Patriots don't have that type of defense. They don't.
You know, I think the Patriots are rested. I do feel the Patriots have a lot of safeties. I believe that Belichick's background, he used to be the Giant defensive coordinator, is on the defensive side of the ball. Right. I think they give Phillip Rivers problems. And my point to you is, if they can just have Phillip Rivers play the same game he just played against the Ravens, right? The same game.
Different defense, different game.
He's going to do better against arrested and more planned.
We're not going to convince each other. We're obviously taking on different sides of the fence in this one. We're not going to come to a meeting of the minds, which I think is fine.
Okay, well, just to summarize, Jeff's take, he likes the Chargers.
Chargers.
Getting the points.
This is LA's year, both sides. Right,
and let me say, if you're inclined to, you know, go with the Chargers too, consider sprinkling a little bit on the futures, because the Chargers are 10-1 right now.
Yeah, because they could be in Atlanta. Hey, Rams, fancy meeting you here. What are we both doing in Atlanta? What a surprise. No one saw this one coming. Oh, wait, one guy did.
Right. Well, I might shock you with these next two picks.
Okay.
Let me say this. For me, I do feel the winning side of the play, and I could be wrong, are the Patriots on the futures. I would definitely, though, take a little and sprinkle it on the Chargers at 10-1. When you have a 10-1 prop out there on a team with as many wins as the Chargers have, I believe you have to take it. Okay. So just food for thought.
Okay.
Why don't we go to Philly against New Orleans?
The Big Easy.
I'll let you lead.
8 points the Saints are giving. Excuse me.
Right, eight.
Philly. Oh, you talked about the million-dollar quarterback or million-dollar play. Well, the Phillies quarterback is a million-dollar quarterback because for every postseason game he starts, he gets $500,000. And for every postseason game he wins, he gets another $500,000. So he got $1 million last week for beating the Bears.
Right.
I hope he gave some of it to that poor Chicago kicker.
Oh, Cody. Cody Parkey.
Yeah, thanks for the $1 million. Here's $10. Thanks, pal. So yeah. the Magic Hat of Nick Foles. He kind of pulled it out a little bit during the game. He seemingly played well after throwing two picks. But now he's going to New Orleans, where the New Orleans Saints are awfully good at home, and he's playing a quarterback who may be better than him, even if he has a Magic Hat. So what are you thinking here? You've kind of sprinkled this with surprise. Let me go first. I think you have a surprise element. I think Drew Brees and the Saints can't believe their luck. I think they're going to win this game, cover the 8-point spread. I think Drew Brees is going to put 40-plus points up against the Eagles. The Eagles, I think, as I said last week, the winner of the Bears-Eagles was going to be a one-and-done. I think New Orleans romps. This is the only game I expect to be a beatdown. So I think this is the end of the line for the NFC East. I guess the Cowboys are going to go down close, and the Eagles are going to be. Hopefully, they can stay a couple of days and have some drinks on Bourbon Street, because they're not going to enjoy the game against the Saints one bit. It could be like a 17-point loss. This is going to be a serious Nick Foles throwing up ducks, interceptions, a lot of disappointment. But they do have the Lombardi Trophy until February, so they can take some more pictures of that. But I don't foresee any possibility of the Eagles making a game of this by the time we get midway through the third quarter. I think they will realize they've been had. But I don't know. What do you think, Rich?
Okay. Wow. So you actually have them covering the 8. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I'm a big Saint fan, but I like the Eagles in this one. I think this game could be a monumental upset for a few reasons. Let me say this. Yeah, well, let's talk about it.
The Eagles are going to beat the Saints? They barely got here with a double doink. That was quite a 1-2 punch. Chicago, New Orleans, and then are they going to go all the way to the Super Bowl then? Or maybe let's hear the case for them beating the Saints, because I can't imagine a scenario where they beat the Saints, to be honest.
Well, let me say this. A few weeks ago, you remember the Chicago Bears were playing the regular season final, right?
Yeah.
And everyone said, hey, look, you need to roll over here.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to face the Eagles in the playoffs. You want to face Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, right? People then sensed, right? People then sensed what this Eagle team was bringing to the table. Now, let me say this. I agree 100%. That Carson Wentz, if you just look at his skills, if you look at his athleticism, if you look at his arm strength, objectively, he's a better quarterback than Nick Foles. But I believe what we're going to find out as we analyze leadership ability, somehow find a way to quantify it over the coming years, we're going to find out that the Nick Foleses of the world, and I believe this is the difference, by the way, between Montana and Aaron Rodgers, who I consider to be the most talented quarterback I've seen, but Montana's the better quarterback.
Right.
I believe the Eagles with Nick Foles are just better than they are with Carson Wentz. And I believe we're going to see it in this game.
Controversy.
The end of the Bear game was interesting. Yeah. Nick Foles gets them to the 2-yard line.
Right.
Then Nick Foles on fourth down finds Golden Tate.
Right.
I'm telling you, the Eagles have guys, Golden Tate, Darren Sproles, who are complete gamers. They are the defending champions. When I look at this line, the line is clearly off because keep in mind, I'm just going to name some other teams in the last 5 weeks who've come within 8 points of this Saint team, right?
Okay.
They lost to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. That was a great game by the Cowboys. Right. That game was in Dallas, I believe, right?
I think it was in Dallas, but the point, though, is, you know, this Saint team, if they're such a juggernaut, where they should be favored by 8 in a playoff game against a defending champion, they shouldn't have lost that Dallas game. They beat Carolina by 3, right?
Pittsburgh
Steeler game, that's a 3-point game. I think we've gotten ahead of ourselves with this 8-point line. Let me also point out that the worst loss the Eagles had all year, the worst was to this Saint team. And understand, an argument can be made.
What was the gap in that game? What was the point? What was the score? The worst.
New Orleans won 48-7.
Ooh.
And let's talk.
Okay, I'm not going to predict a 41-point victory. I'll say 17-point victory.
Let me say this. People forget where Philly was with Carson Wentz this year. Understand?
They were in Philadelphia half the time. If they don't remember.
No, that's true. But I'll say this. That first game, Philly had just played the Cowboys and had lost to the Cowboys coming off a bye. Now, this was, for gamblers, a sandwich game because after they played the Saints, they had to play the Giants, then the Redskins, then the Cowboys. And on top of that, after, you know, three NFC divisional games, they had to play the Rams after that.
Okay.
Right, people forget how bleak it was. At the time they played the game, Philly was 4-5.
Right.
Now, I believe there's a controversial touchdown late in that game where Philly players thought that the Saints were pouring it on.
Right?
Touchdown by Alvin Kamara late. So I'm expecting Doug Peterson, and we need to start giving this Super Bowl winning head coach some respect.
Right.
I'm expecting Doug Peterson to have no problem getting his troops ready because they have to have revenge on their minds, right? And I'll say that Philly, the 8 is ludicrous. I don't believe the Saints cover the 8. I do feel that Philly, who just beat the 3 seed, has an outside shot of taking this game.
Unfortunately, the game's inside, though. So if they're in the parking lot, they're not going to win the game.
No, agree. And I'll also agree with those who say, look, Philly just played a very physical Chicago Bears defense. Right. And teams that play Chicago the next week tend to be a bit beaten up. Right. But I look at this Saint team, and I see problems, right? You have Michael Thomas, who's a slot receiver.
Right.
On the outside, you don't have stud receivers. You just don't.
Funny how Tom Brady doesn't need receivers, but Drew Brees does. I think he's operated with not the best receivers in the league for how many years has he been playing?
You know what? Tom Brady's singular.
Okay.
No. Tom Brady is singular, right?
He's not even the best quarterback of all time. He's number 3 at best.
Well,
he's up there in the top 10.
Oh, no. I think Montana is the best quarterback I've seen. I would say talent-wise, I prefer Aaron Rodgers to both Montana and to Tom Brady, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to have the leadership skills of a Joe Montana.
And he's got a terrible coach now, too.
The coach, that's a compromise pick. You know, they went to Aaron. Aaron said, hire the young guy and stuff like that. If there was a team that needed a Vic Fangio, it's the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
But getting back to this game, the play I like is Philly +8, right?
I'm not surprised based on your lead up. I'm not surprised. But I want to talk more about the outside chance, which I don't foresee, that the Eagles, exactly how are the Eagles going to win this game? What scenario do you believe the Eagles are going to outscore the Saints in New Orleans.
Okay, let me say this. Drew Brees is older, just like Tom Brady.
He's only a couple weeks older since the season ended. He's not substantially older than when the season was going on.
But I'll say this. I've seen some decay with the Saints.
Oh, no.
Look at the halftime score. Saints came back and won the game, but look at the halftime score of their last matchup against Tampa Bay, a team that blew out its coaching staff, right? You're going to see that at halftime, Tampa was actually up. Right. The Saints were struggling. The Saints have been struggling for a while, right? This isn't the Rams finish of the season.
13-3. Also, Tampa's a divisional opponent. You know divisional games are going to generally be closer. They see each other at least twice a year.
Right, but I think everyone watching this video understands that Tampa's defense this year wasn't Philly's defense.
That wasn't the only good game Tampa had this year. They beat another good team. I didn't follow the Tampa. Tampa was up and down. They obviously aren't a very good team, but they're capable of playing well a couple times a month. They're the kind of a blah team. They've got talent. They obviously didn't have good coaching. That's why the coaching staff was dismissed. But
let's stay in the division. Look at the Carolina game where Carolina. I know they blow out Carolina the second time, but that first Carolina matchup, Carolina's within 3 points of them. My point to you is,
Colin Cowherd said the quarterback had the MVC, the most valuable camp. Cam, the first half of the season, had the highest completion percentage of his career with North Turner. Cam, the Panthers just fell off the cliff the second half of the year, but they looked to be a playoff team for half the season.
I know, but understand, I'm talking about a game that took place in the last five games. In other words, the Saints have decayed a bit, and I just don't believe this line is what it should have been in, let's say, early October, when the Saints were a bit revolutionary and teams didn't know how to deal with them, right when Mark Ingram comes back from suspension, right? But lately, the Saints, just the fact that the Steelers, as dysfunctional as they were, without Le'Veon Bell, were within 3 points of the Saint team.
They were fighting for the playoffs. The Steelers looked to be a playoff team until they just... Their running back replacement for Mr. Bell, stopped running as well. Whatever the film said, the defense coordinators, and then they became one-dimensional.
But Jeff, the Steelers were fighting for the playoffs. Philly's in the playoffs. Understand, Philly's going to be motivated.
Well, you're the one talking about these close games. I'm still trying to figure out how the Eagles are going to do this, because I think they would have to play a perfect game, and even then, the Saints have a better team. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I know Philadelphia is capable of playing good games. They've been in playoff mode for the last 6 weeks.
Sure.
I just think the Saints have been a pretty steady team. 13-3. They're excellent at home. Philly, some would say, okay, well, they've got the magic formula. I've seen a lot of teams win really great games, really close games, the next week get destroyed. The momentum doesn't carry over, and beating the Bears wasn't like beating the 85 Bears. This Bears team was a young team, but they should have won the game. They should have made the field. Philadelphia shouldn't have been in this game to begin with. But now that they're here, they've got experience. I just think the Saints are a better team.
I'll say this. I personally feel that Alvin Kamara is one of the very best players in the league. Right. I think Kamara's a cut above Tyreek Cohen of the Bears.
Yeah, but he's been great the last couple of years. He's an impressive player. He's
very impressive. But Matt Nagy, an offensive guy,
right,
against this Philadelphia defense, couldn't find a way to get Tyreek Cohen a lot of touches. And Tyreek Cohen does a lot of the same things Alvin Kamara does, right? Beats you in open space, can slip out, breaks tackles too. My point to you is this Philly defense, not having to really worry too much about the outside receivers, being able to take Michael Thomas out of the game, as some teams have this year, And then being able to focus on Alvin Kamara, I think the defense is going to make this a lower scoring game. Right? And all I'm saying is 8 points, I think with Nick Foles, right? He hits Golden Tate for the key touchdown. You and I know his number one receiver is Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah. In other words, this Philly team has weapons. I haven't even gotten to Zach Ertz.
I love Zach Ertz.
Love him. Well, all I'm saying is you have more offensive talent. I actually prefer Zach Ertz, the tight end, right, over 1,000 receiving yards with Alshon Jeffrey and Golden Tate, right? I actually prefer them with Darren Sproles over the personnel that Drew Brees and company are going to put on the field offensively.
Well, we'll see how many yards they can.
And I'll just say this Philly defense is playing inspired ball, right? Just held the Bears to less than 20 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to hold New Orleans to less than 20 or even less than 30.
All they have to do is hold New Orleans to within 8 points of them. You've covered the 8 point spread. That's what I'm saying.
When you're behind and you're Nick Foles and you've already threw two interceptions against the Bears that almost killed them. When he's behind by 14 points in the third quarter and he's forced to throw and you know, he doesn't have the great arm. He's more of a intermediate thrower. I feel that New Orleans is going to be really geared up for this game at home. But I just think they're vastly superior. Even though Philadelphia has great talent, they've been a very up and down team. Let me
say this. You were defending Philip Rivers when he went up against Baltimore, right? Nick Foles had much better numbers going up against Chicago's defense. Much better numbers. Look at the number of times Nick Foles threw the ball. Also, keep in mind, Nick Foles made the Pro Bowl before he ever put on Philadelphia colors, right? He has the year where he has 27 touchdowns and only two picks.
This is his second tour of duty.
Right. He was an Eagle before, right? I'm talking about
his most recent. His magic hat isn't going to make the trip to New Orleans. This is going to be a blowout.
I think the guy's low-key demeanor is exactly the kind of leadership style Philly needs. And I think we'll just ignore my phone. This always happens during videos. We'll just
Where's
ignore
your
the
daughter?
Phone.
Is she going to make a cameo appearance this week?
She's in daycare right now. We'll just let that phone ring.
It's kind of like Johnny Cash is on the rails or something. That was a nice time. I like your ringtone.
Well, okay. I'll say this. Philly plus eight.
Other futures bets you want to take with Philadelphia here or some other cockamamie way?
You know what? Because I'm taking the dog, right? Keep in mind, Philly plus eight gets me the win if New Orleans wins by less than eight.
Right.
So I like Philly here. I am going to sprinkle a little bit because getting double digits on futures. I like Philly with the point spread plus eight. That's one bet. The other bet I like is to sprinkle a little bit on Philly on a futures.
You know, the problem with sprinkling is that it doesn't get inside the Superdome because they've got a roof.
Hey, we'll see what happens.
So far, we're not agreeing very much. Now, it'll be very interesting to see what's going to happen with our last game, where our best quarterback since John Elway at Stanford, our boy is leading his troops into the seemingly unstoppable Arrowhead Stadium in Patrick Mahomes.
That's the
almost certain MVP. Pat, what could possibly happen to slow down these Chiefs, Rich?
I think a lot. Do you want me to lead or do you want to take this?
No, please tell me because I'm this may be a game we agree on. But
Okay. I like the Colts. Uh-huh. Getting 5.5 points.
How many points are they getting in this one?
5.5.
Okay.
And it's outrageous. I'll just say this. I know a lot of people are focused on San Diego's personnel. Excuse me. The Los Angeles Chargers' personnel. I believe the best team, the team that might be playing the best ball right now, are these Indianapolis Colts. I think you need to look at them hard. They're on a 10-1 run.
Yeah.
It's luck in a new offense where he doesn't keep the ball that long, right? Frank Reich has installed an offense that Indy didn't have before.
Right.
And I think that Luck is, to me, a better quarterback than eventual MVP winner Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Let me also say too.
So yeah, Luck has made a remarkable recovery.
This is one of his better years. He has a running back now, Marlon Mack. You know, we here have been talking about the Cowboy rushing attack with Ezekiel Elliott. Just understand, last week against Houston, the division winner, these Colts rushed for more yards as a team than the Cowboys did in Seattle, right? They rushed for 200.
Yeah.
Right. And so, to me, I believe that the Colts are the play here because when KC has gone up against teams bound for the playoffs, they faltered, right? They lost to New England. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to Seattle. They lost to the Rams. The defense is terrible. Take a look at the number of first downs they've given up in some games. You're going to find multiple weeks, where this Kansas City Chiefs team gave up more than 30 first downs to an opposing team. That's terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even more problematical is their missing in action running back who's no longer eligible to play in the NFL. They're not the same team they were when they had one of the top five running backs in the league.
Right, right. And so I'm not worried about the game being in KC because Andrew Luck is a veteran quarterback.
Right.
You know, let me also say, going forward, you mentioned that the Super Bowl is going to be indoors in Atlanta.
It is.
The Colts are an indoor team. Understand, depending on what happens, I believe the Colts would be a live dog against the San Diego Chargers. Just food for thought.
Right.
Colt defense, if you go by Football Outsiders, the DVOA on the Colt defense is actually above average, which is a big difference from past years.
Right.
You know, I agree, if the Colts win this game and have to travel to New England,
right?
Which I believe is a distinct possibility, they're going to have a hard time because Luck doesn't do well against Bill Belichick. But don't rule out the idea that this Colt team takes the AFC. So I think the Colts are live dogs here. I like the Colts plus 5.5.
I like the Colts regardless of the spread. And I like the fact that Andrew Luck, with his playoff experience, with the team performing better and better, the defense playing mid-range, but well, they've been playing well. And he's faced the same coach and team with a 21-point deficit 5 years ago, and he came back and won. That was a pretty good Kansas City Chiefs team, too. And the Colts didn't have a ton. They had better receivers, but they didn't have a very good defense or a very good offensive line. I think the Colt offensive line is much better. You mentioned Mack. I know they don't have household names, but their receiving core, I guess T.Y. Hilton's the leader there. And their defense is playing better, but Luck is playing as well as anyone. I think they're going to win the game outright, so I would gladly take the points.
Yeah, let me say too. Right, that the over-under number is in the 50s. Right? I actually like the over. I think getting into the 60s.
I think, as you mentioned, Kansas City's defense is not very good. And the Colts, both teams can score a lot of points. Because what, Luck had 39 touchdown passes. They both can score. Right. It really depends on the weather. I don't know what the weather is going to be like in Kansas City this weekend. The game is Saturday.
Right. There's the possibility that there might be snow before the game. But doesn't sound like it's going to happen during the game. Let me just add a caveat, too. Pat Mahomes, this is his first playoff game.
It is.
I think that's a problem for him, right? We just saw other young quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, for example, implode in their first playoff games. If you are a gambler who bets over-unders by the quarter, I would consider the under for the first quarter, because I'm getting the feeling that Mahomes is going to come out. I know Andy Reid's going to have gadget plays and stuff like that. Right. But this Colt defense might be able to slow them down early. So, you know.
I think we're on the same side here. I think the Colts do have a legitimate chance to win this and potentially the next game, too. I think their second half of the season, they've been among the top few teams in the league. They've been in the playoff mode too, just like the Eagles have. They've had to win pretty much every week for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and they've only lost once out of the last 11 games. It's been an impressive run.
Right. They sacked Deshaun Watson 3 times.
Right.
Last week, Andrew Luck going up against J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney never gets sacked. Right. This to me is the best team Luck has been on.
This is Luck's
best shot to make it to the Super Bowl, right? I think everything's lining up for him. Yep. So, I think Casey's going to get tested. What I like about this play, too, is because you're getting 5.5 points, if Casey wins by a field goal, great. You're still cashing the ticket.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a good bet. It's probably the best bet of the week, I think, to be honest. Because my pick of the Saints, 8 points is a lot. When you're getting 5.5,
I like the Philly bet the best, but go ahead. Uh-huh.
But 5.5 for the Colts and the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have a storied history since Len Dawson stopped lacing them up. I don't remember the last time, even with Joe Montana, they couldn't get past the AFC Championship game. They haven't had a lot of recent success in the playoffs, especially when they've been the number one seed. It seems like it's almost a death wish for them to be the number one seed. Marty Schottenheimer, Andy Reid.
Right.
You know, it's just not. I think Mahomes could play well. It's going to be a tremendous home field advantage. That is a place that has a home field advantage. But Luck is at that perfect point of experience and confidence. And I think he's playing with a real joy. Just his post-game interview, a year ago, his career could have been over. And now that he's healthy, and his team is playing well, and no one expected them to be here, I think he's going to play confidently. And as you mentioned, he's getting rid of the ball much faster with the help of Frank Wright. I mean, the Colts are in a really good position right now, I think.
Oh, I have to say, too, that you have Andrew Luck here with an above-average defense.
Right.
Going up against Pat Mahomes with no defense.
And no running back.
Right. No running back, a record of losing against playoff bound teams, less experience. I think there's only so much that the Chiefs can do. In other words, sure, a great atmosphere is going to slow down some people, but we just went through a week where experienced quarterbacks, Philip Rivers, on the road, in the playoffs against Baltimore, Nick Foles on the road against Chicago won the game. And the fact that Luck himself won last week on the road tells me that this crowd, Luck's played, as you pointed out, in the playoffs, in KC before, he's going to know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and T.Y. Hilton, I don't see how they stop him. Also, Eric Ebron, right? You know, he had a spectacular year. If you're going to think about Travis Kelce, you have to think about Eric Ebron, who's been phenomenal. So, I think Luck's underrated. I think that shoulder, he has confidence in it now. Right. I'll be surprised if the Colts don't cover. I'll just put it that way.
Okay. So you have
also sprinkle some on the futures. Colts are 12-1 on the futures.
And sprinkling will go with the snow. It'll be a nice combo in Kansas City, even if it's just snow.
Well, that's if it snows, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to tell. It'll probably snow in New England. It snows in Boston in January often, so I wouldn't be surprised to see snow.
Right. It's going to be cold in New England. I know that. We're making this video, by the way, on Thursday the 10th.
Right.
So, you know, you want to be aware of the timing here. If new weather news breaks on Friday, it might not be incorporated here in our takes.
That's true. So I have the Chargers hosting the AFC Championship game against the Colts and New Orleans hosting the Los Angeles Rams. So interesting. I have Road Warriors continuing to do well in the AFC, and the rested teams to hold serve at home. So,
okay, my sheets, one of those you've heard before. The New England Patriots hosting the AFC Championship game. Oh,
that'd be exciting.
I do think that Philly has a chance to knock off the Saints.
I know you do. I know.
Would have them going to the Rams.
The Rams.
To play that young team in the NFC Championship game. In any event, if it doesn't happen, that's okay, as long as Philly comes within eight.
As long as you cover.
Right. Give me the cover. If they do more than cover and these futures are still live, then I'm in the penthouse before next week's games even kick off.
Okay.
Then I'm just hedging and enjoying.
The future may be now, Rich. The futures may look bright, but come this weekend, the futures may not be worth much if you're on the wrong side. That's the danger of the futures. It's not a free thing. You actually have to win the game, too.
Right. I'll just say this, too. If Sean McVay has to go up against Doug Peterson in the NFC Championship game, that's going to be hard on the Rams. But we'll get to that next week, hopefully.
This is great. Well, there's going to be a clear difference. This is not going to be a potential tie for us this weekend. We're on different sides of some of these games. It'll be very interesting to see how this works out. Great games again. Only one blowout, ruining your Doug Peterson and Nick Foles story. But the rest of the game should be pretty competitive.
Okay. All I'm saying is, just remember the phrase "same as it ever was."
Okay.
Tom Brady, deep in the playoffs.
Is that right? Why they call
the Eagles
you a talking,
still alive?
Is that why they call you a talking head, Rich?
Might be.
Okay.
All righty, sir. Hey, I think that's a wrap for this week. Am I correct?
All right.
I'll let you go. Take it easy.
See you next week, fans.
Okay. You got it.
Okay, bye.